Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. And I'm not going to preach it in 25 minutes. So we're glad to see you here today. We give a shout out. I think Sister Jan may be watching on Facebook. She had a little surgery there on Friday. She's doing better. We hope our kids are getting to watching Mount Juliet. They can get that baby out next week, I think. And I wish you could understand him. Paul says, "Hi, Colin." He can't understand that yet, but he will. Here's where the Lord, I was in prayer Thursday morning, and the Lord, I'm telling you, spoke this into my spirit, and I said, "I don't even know what that means." I was confused about it. So I got my book out and began to study and meditate on the Word. You know, you need to read a verse, and sometimes you have to think on it for a few days. And I've been thinking on some of them for a lot of years, and I'm still, Brother Cliff, I still don't have it all together. But this is where my heart's at today. I'm glad to see Brother Irvin back with us among the living. Praise God, resurrected. I called him Lazarus when he came in here this morning. It's good to see him. And all of you here, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I've never used this before. A lot of stuff I've preached over and over. Especially when you get, it's like singing a song, you know. When you get a song that you really know and you like it and it blesses you, you just want to keep singing. That's the same way with preaching on a topic or a sermon. You get it on your heart and you just can't, "Hey, I want to share that again with someone." Well, I never shared this with anybody. So I pray this will be a blessing to you. I'm in Proverbs chapter 30, and I'm in verse number 18 and verse number 19. And if you found that, shout amen for me. Amen. "There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not." I want to preach this morning, four things I know not. "The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." Father, I love you, and I bless you for this day. And I thank you that while you were on the cross, Lord, you done that, slain before the foundation of the world. So we know that song to be true. We were on your mind. And I don't, Lord, I can't do a thing with this morning without your help. I'm praying, God of heaven, come by and stir in my spirit. Lord, you stirred me up on some of this. I pray, help your people. I pray, God, if there's one lost here today that are on the road to hell, I tell the Holy Ghost will turn the light on for them. They'll see that, God, that you're the only hope. And then come and call upon the name of the Lord and be gloriously saved. I pray you'd bless this for your glory. And I pray you'd touch your people. Fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of the Holy Writ. I'm going to give you praise, honor, and glory for all that's done. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. There's a fellow by the name of Agur that this particular chapter, it's labeled with his name. He is the... They say he is the writer of this chapter. Now, some of the old people say that's just another name for Solomon. And I don't know about that. Hello, David. I hadn't seen you, brother. Praise God. It's really good to see you here. But Agur's talking to a couple of other fellows here, the son of Jacob and the prophecy. And he's speaking this thing. And he's talking about, he comes down with a lot of good information in this chapter. It's things that we as Christians ought to know and do and understand. But he gets to verse 18, he said, these three things here, it's just too wonderful for me. This is over my head. This is too good to be true. I just don't see this. This is good. But these four things, I know not. I don't know what these are. Now, one preacher I read after said this, if this fellow just four things he don't know about, he's a pretty smart fellow. Yea, these four things I know not. Hey, there's a lot more than four that I don't know. I'm just going to tell you. There's a lot of things I don't know. But this one thing I do know. That I've been born and my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. And I know that today. Now, I don't know if I'm getting home to 76 Anselm Circle after church, but I know this. I know if I leave this world, my home's in heaven. I'm as sure of that as I am. I'm standing on green carpet. He said, these four things, I don't know about these four things. So, the analogy of Agur, though he's a brilliant man, his analogy is this. He fails to understand this. He's trying to analyze something. I don't understand it. But it's not down to this. Let me read verse 20 to you, and then I think it clears this whole thing up quickly. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. So there's four things I don't understand here. But these four things are kind of like an adulterous woman that sins. It's like she's eaten something which was forbidden. She wipes her mouth and said, I've done nothing wrong. I said, that sounds like America. We've done nothing wrong. Do you want to make someone mad? Tell them they've sinned and come short of the glory of God. They'll say, you don't have any right to call me a sinner. I say, friend, it's not me that calls you that. It's the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. So if we take that verse 20, and tie it to verses 18 and 19, we see this. It's the ways that he doesn't understand, but he understands completely about the woman. Now, I don't understand these ways. So what he's saying here, it's the action of an eagle in the air, of a serpent upon a rock, of a ship upon a sea, and of a man with a maid. It's the actions of them that's above him. He don't understand it, but he understands exactly. He said, but the woman that commits adultery, the adulterous woman, and wipes her mouth, said, I've done nothing wrong, that she's like these things I don't understand. So his analogy fails him in one respect in the ways of these four things, but the woman, he's completely aware of that. He's not confused by it. It's the actions that we see here. And I think if we take this in the context that it's obvious, here's what he's talking about. That once the eagle sails through the air, there's no evidence that he was there. Once a serpent's been up on a rock and it's off, there's no evidence that he's gone when he's off the rock. When the ship goes through the sea, it may make a wake. But in a minute, the wake's going to settle down. You'll never know the ship passed that way. And the way a man with a maid, you don't know if they've lied together or not. They look just like it, didn't they, when it's all said and done and they got their clothes on. So you don't. It's the actions of these things. I think that's obvious here. There's no tracing the movement. In other words, the evidence, once it's occurred, it's over. How are you going to tell? You know, when I hear the eagle down on the river, Brother Donnie, Brother Brant, Terry, rescue fishermen, when we hear that eagle, it's got a very distinct sound. You know what we do? We start looking around for it. Because we know it's there. We can hear it. But oftentimes I hear it, but I never see it. And even if I do see it, pretty soon, don't take it long, it's out of sight. You know what? I can't tell by which path it flew. So I think we can see here, look, it's the action. Once the action is over, he said, I don't understand it. It's like, these things are, it's too wonderful for me. I'm thinking, why does it matter if he don't understand that? The fact is, he made the point. There's no trace of the eagle, of the serpent, or the ship, or the man with the maid. There's no trace of that. But this thing, this woman is like these things. She just says, there's no trace of it. I'm good to go. But we know this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Everything is open and naked before God. You've not hidden one thing from God. Mike McCoy hasn't hidden one thing from God. There's some things I wish I could hide. But I haven't hidden anything. Every outburst of anger, every ault against another brother or a sister, disputes among youth or in Sunday schools or teachers or jealousy, or I could go on and on. The list goes on and on. All these things, you know what? They're open and naked before God. God's sitting there going, a little disappointed right there. But there's four things here. These things, he said, I just don't understand these things. What can he not understand? What's this? You know what's the difference about these? When the eagle flies, here's the thing. There's no evidence of the path. Here's the evidence. It's the arrival. Because there's one thing for sure. He's not where he started. He's not where he started from. He started from over here. And now he's somewhere else. Hey, that's for sure. I can understand that. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but I can understand. Hey, I don't know how the air lifts him up. I don't know how the wings work. There's a lot of that I don't, but I know he left here and now he's over there. And that I know. So four things quickly this morning as I can do it. I want us to consider the way of the eagle. A way of an eagle. You know what they do? The way of the eagle. And you have to tag it with the second part of that to get it in the context. Don't go to sleep on me this morning. Wake up. I'll be done in 45, 50 minutes, I promise. You can get to Cracker Barrel. Hey, the Methodists will have already been there and eat, and you can slide right in and get a table. In the air. In the air. The way of the eagle in the air. What is in the air? What is that? Friend, that's a high place. That's a place that's above this. Now, I don't understand. All I know about the high place of the eagle. But I want you to listen to this verse right here and see if this helps you. We're talking about the way when the eagle's in the air. Now she can fly right over the water, but she don't stay there long. Here's what she does. She's up high, and he or she spies a fish close to the surface, and it comes down, it grabs that fish, and it's, you know what it does? It goes right back up. It doesn't stay there flying just above the water. It doesn't go out here and fly just over the top of the land or the trees. No, she's got a destination in mind. When she picks that thing up, she's headed somewhere with it. And she's not going to quit until she gets there. And it's not in a low place either, my friend. It's in a place that's above our head. Listen, it's too wonderful for me. Listen to what he said. Say, well, I don't know about this eagle stuff. Listen to this. This is Moses' song. Talking about Israel, he found him in a desert land. You can hunt this up when you get home and it'll help you. And in a waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. He's talking about Israel right here. Where did he find him? He found him in a desert land. You know where he found me? He found me in a desert land. I was in a dry place. That's where he found the nation of Israel, but he kept them as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Here's what it is, Brother Gordon. I can't get to that high place on my own. It was above Agar's understanding, and it's above mine. But I know this. I know somebody else that can get me to that place that he wants me to be. If you're in that low place today, he's saying you don't have to stay there. Hey, it don't have to be pastoral understanding. I'll show you what I want you to do. Climb aboard, and I'll take you to heights you you, God, get aboard. You've got to get aboard. Look, first we see the finding. He came to me. He found me. And then you do the flying. If Kendra's ever going to get her plane off the ground, she can't sit at your house and take a flight. She has to get aboard the plane. If we're going to get farther than we are right now, we have to climb aboard and say, Lord, you take me high. You can stay on the ground if you want to. He'll let you remain in the nest. He'll stir it up. It'll get uncomfortable. It won't be as sweet as it once was. There'll be problems. But here's what he's saying. If you want to take a flight, get aboard. I'm about to take you somewhere you ain't never been before. Just get aboard. You got to leave the nest to get aboard. Dusty hadn't been at Todd Black's church for 6 months. He's up leading the singing. I said, what are you doing? What, Todd, what did you do, brother? I just asked him. I can't get him to sing a song at church. You've got him up leading the singing. Yeah. Pat put some pastoral wisdom on me. This kills me when she's right. She said, Dad, said he could grow under you, but he couldn't fly. You're satisfied in your low place? Just stay there if you want to. Come in, sit down. Let the air conditioning blow on you. Be comfortable. The fire's gone. The thrill's gone. Enthusiasm gone. Brother Gordon taught about the love this morning. Those things aren't there that once were. You know what? Get aboard. Climb aboard. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Just mount up. Agur said, I don't really understand the way of an eagle in the air. It's a high place. Number two, he said that not only that, but I don't understand the way of a serpent up on a rock. Now, until the green light come on right here, I read after a bunch of people, and here's what they said. And they're more intelligent men than I. They're doctors, and they're very well educated. Brother Johnny, here's what the majority say. They say the rock, the serpent's just hunting heat. The rock warms up. How many in here has seen a snake up on a rock? When I was a boy wading the creek, they taught me to fish wading the creek, and I was too little. So a lot of the holes were over my head, and my uncle would pick me up by the collar and take me over and set me down in a shallow spot. And the one thing that I hated to see anything other, when you're about this deep in water and you're trying to fish like this, the thing I hated to see the worst was a snake laying over on the rock. Because I was pretty swift on foot as a boy, and I thought, if I was on land, this wouldn't be no issue, but he's a little quicker than I am when I'm chest deep in water. And I didn't care much about seeing a snake on a rock. Why was I concerned about seeing a snake on a rock? I don't disagree with these men. I think the primary focus or the primary lesson to be learned is these things, in his view, in his view is this, he couldn't tell once it had been there and it was gone. There's no evidence that it was ever there. I can't see where the snake went, and it's gone, and no one knows it was here. That's what the woman's saying. She's wiping her mouth. No one knows I was there. God knows. But I think maybe Agur was writing about something a little deeper he didn't understand. Because if you take the Bible in Genesis 3, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see that the serpent is always given in a negative context. I can't see that there's anything positive about this snake right here in particular, because I see that the serpent's not good. He's not good whether he's on a rock or hanging in a tree or laying on Jolene's back porch. She wanted me to kill it, and I run it off, and it came back, and then she had another guy kill it. I should have just killed it the first time. So there's not much. Most people have they have a natural fear of snakes. I caught a corn snake on the apron of the helicopter pads, the tarmac in Mobile one year. There's a corn snake scurrying out through there, and I ran by and I grabbed him by the head and I took him into the flight engineer's office. It was a bad mistake because the chief in there was desperately afraid of snakes, and I got in big time trouble. He called me a bunch of names, and Hillbilly was thrown in there with it and told me to get the snake out. But now, people, you could throw a snake down right here in the floor, and whichever direction it went, 90% of you'd hit the door running. It'd be over. You're done. Cal Ray Evans said one time he ran over a snake, and he needed gas, so he drove an extra way to go to a place where they actually serviced it himself. And when he got there, the boy said, "Can I do anything else for you?" He said, "I think I may have something loose under my car. Look up under there and see, would you? I want to be sure there's nothing hanging under the car." Boy looked, said, "I don't see anything." Cal said, "Whoa, glory." He thought the snake had come with him. We don't like snakes. What's the snake on? How can you not understand what the snake on the rock is? Here's what I contemplated. This is my own personal thought. In Genesis 3, you see that the serpent comes against God's creation. Why did He create us? Brother Gordon said it in Sunday school. He wanted something to love Him back. Everyone likes to be loved. I don't care who you are, how hard-hearted you are. Basically, our motives boils down to this. We're looking for someone to love us. We like to be loved. So, and we see it as a negative context. In Genesis 3, it's coming against creation. But I think here's what we see. When you go to the New Testament in Matthew 4, you see the serpent coming against the rock. If you have any questions about whether Jesus is the Rock of Ages, come to meeting next week at the Midway out there. I think I'm going to preach that series on rocks. So here we have, my mind goes to this, Brother Johnny. In chapter 4 of Matthew, here's what the serpent's doing. He's coming against the Rock of Ages. He has come and he's upon him. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days. And afterward, he hungered. And he was there, and he was fasting and praying and seeking the Father. He was tempted, and in every way as we are, Brother David, yet without sin. So there he is enduring the temptation of Mike McCoy in the wilderness with the serpent. Let me tell you, the serpent's up on the rock. But it doesn't matter. You go get you a rock and you go get you a snake. You can lay that serpent up on that rock and it can lay there till doomsday. And you know what? It's not going to change the rock. That serpent can lay there till he wears the hide off his belly, but it ain't going to change the rock. That snake can only crawl around on the rock. He cannot get inside the rock. He can't do a thing with the rock. Glory to God. It's not past my understanding. I've learned he can't get in the rock. So that don't help me none. This will help you. The Lord said, "There's a place by me." And where was it? There was a cleft in the rock. And he put him in the rock. Put him right in the rock. Where are we today, Brother Cliff? We're inside the rock. He said, "I'm in the Father. The Father's me in me, and they're in me." Glory to God, there we are. We're in the rock. You know what? Let the serpent lay on the rock if he wants to. I got a sword and a shield and a rock behind him, and the devil can't do nothing to you if you're in the rock. How'd I do that? He said, "Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." That's what you do. You get in the rock. Say, "I can't get in." Oh, yeah, you can. If you want to. We sing that song. We hear occasionally, "Lord, hide thou me.
Oh, blessed rock of ages. That's the cleft I'm in. And the serpent can't do a thing with the rock. All he can do is crawl on him. He thought he defeated him. You know what? If you go to Israel, those of you who've been there, you'll amen this. You go to Israel, when you step out of the plane, you get off the tarmac, you walk out across the parking lot, you walk out in any direction, Brother Johnny, you'll step on a rock. It is the land. You know why it's the ultimate ammunition over there? Because it's an endless supply. They never run out of rocks. Anywhere you go, you step on a rock. But you know what? Paul said it like this, that rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. So there's Christ, He is the rock. He's you, over there, He's the rock of ages. There's rocks everywhere. It don't matter. They buried Him inside a rock. And He came out of the rock. The serpent's all over the rock. He's on him through the leadership of the land. He's on him through the people. He's on him through the religious crowd. He's all over the rock. But Danny, he can't do one thing, that rock. That rock came rolling out of that hole that day. The rock of ages. Praise God. And that's still him today. I don't understand the high place, Brother Paul. But I believe it. He's took me there a few times. I'm praying, God, get me back in that place. Listen, I don't want to be eating with the chickens. I want to be flying with the eagles. I ran over a starling the other day. I don't care much for starlings. They're an aggravating bird. But I hate to kill something. I'm flying down the road, probably driving too fast, maybe. I seen this starling coming. I thought, bud, get higher, get higher. Ka-toom. You know why he died? He's flying too low. All he had to do is gain a little altitude, Paul. He'd have missed me completely, and he'd been flying today. We flying down here about this time. They're dangerous. Get on the eagle. He'd take you into a higher place. Say, I don't understand the height. I don't understand the hurt. Listen, here's the hurt. It is impossible but that offense has come. You're living under the curse. He saved your soul, not her body. Some of our people are about to go through some things. Some have been through some things. I've been through a thing or two. You know what? I'll go through another thing or two, and you will too. You've got a lot more things to go through. And there we are going through things. I don't understand the hurt. I may not understand how come God lets the snake crawl up and inflict pain and hard times. Listen, He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't blame the bad things on the Lord. Blame them on the one who the blame lies on. Blame it on the devil. And I don't understand this, but this one thing I do know, that if I'll get in the rock, He can't do a thing to me. When you're in something, you're close. Used to have a song, used to have this, used to do that, had a testimony, had a word for the Lord. A guy stopped, he spilled gas and cussed the other day at the gas station, the very guy I should have witnessed to. I thought, man, I ain't talking to that guy. And the Holy Ghost said, if I'd have been a preacher and it spilled gas, you'd went over and wiped his gas up. I tried to help him and do all these things. That love you was talking about this morning, brother, beat me to death. There it is. But this guy's cussing. That's the guy I need to talk to. Lost something. Hurt, injured. Getting a rock. Number three, the way of a ship in the sea. Primary, yes. When the ship passes, no evidence he's been there. Some of you have taken cruises. Some of you have taken a lot of cruises. Some like me taking one. I'd take another one. I just hadn't had time to do it. Pat said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm about to take a nap. She said, you just took a nap. I said, exactly. I don't have to talk to nobody. I ain't got nowhere to go. Give me a chair. Pull up the cot. Whatever you got to do. I got ice cream. Walk by. Get a cone anytime you want to. 24 hours a day. Just walk by and pull the hat. good. But you know what wasn't good? On the last day, I had all these grand things. I was going to go walk out on the deck and watch the waves and see if I could spot any creatures out there flying around, swimming, jumping, doing all that. You know what I seen? I didn't see nothing but rain splashing on the outside of the window. We went to dinner. They turned Pat the wrong way. Usually she can stand on her head and it not bother her. But this time that we're doing this in there in the dining hall, she said, "I don't think I'm hungry." Hold on here. Hold on. We signed up for a vacation where it's all fun and games. There's no trouble on this thing. You're supposed to sail around the storms. But we're on a schedule. And when we gotta dock this bad boy on a certain day, look here, it don't matter whether there's a storm or not, we're going through it. Is this making, now some of you never been on a cruise, you don't have a clue what I'm, but you on the cruise of life. You want to know what the sea is? Here's what it is. You look into Revelation chapter 17, you're going to find the whore that set upon many waters. And he said the waters is peoples, nations, and tongues, multitudes of people. He's talking about the world. That's what we're sailing on today. We're all in a little vessel. We're in a little ship. We're sailing this thing. You know what? We would sail around all the storms. But you know the reality of it? We don't get to pick where we're sailing a lot of times. We have to sail through the storm. But I'm glad, praise God, that there's somebody. Do you know what the helm is? The helm is the steering mechanism on a ship. Do you know? I know the one that's got his hand on the helm. Hey, and even if my little ship is going through a storm, praise God, I'm telling you, the captain of my salvation, according to Hebrews 2 and 10, has got his hand on the helm. And when the captain's aboard and sailing the ship, that thing is not going down. It is not. Don't misunderstand. I am not tooting my horn. It's what Randy and I do. We get a call or a text or something from Mark early on Friday. I've got Jan in the emergency room. She's sick. And the only way I can describe this is to you daddies. You other men in here that are fathers. You'll understand this. And then And the rest, the mamas will, to an extent, but the daddies especially. And I walked in a room, and Janet really didn't want company. She was sick, but I wasn't there to be company. And she had her head. She was sitting up in the bed, and she's pale. And if you're watching Jan, I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's just how it was. She was sick. And they'd give her some medicine, and it really wasn't working. And they're about to send her home. Because they can't do anything. They know what's wrong with her. But they can't do anything about it in the ER. They're not set up for surgery. You're going to have to make an appointment. You're going to have to schedule. I'm telling you, everything has a certain protocol. You have to follow to get it done. You've got to have a recommendation. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. It's going to be a little while. Yeah, but she's hurting real bad. And I sat there and stared at her as long as I could. And I'm telling you, it's like a daddy looking at a hurting child. And I'm not saying she's young or immature, but it's what pastors do, Brother Johnny. It's what we do. And I'm telling you, Paul, my heart was broke. And one thing about it, I'd been right where she was. You can really sympathize with someone when you've been where they are. Now listen. There's some things some of you have been through, I've never been through, and I can't really be as sympathetic to you in that area as someone who's been through it. But I've been where she was. And Randy was there with me that day. And the Holy Ghost said, "Are you going to ask or not? Are you going to ask?" He knows what we have need of before we even ask. I just knelt down at the end of the bed and I grabbed her by the feet. And here's what I said. I said, "Lord, we need help now. I don't need it this afternoon. I need it. You are very..." And I used the scripture. Psalm 46:1 said, "He's a very present help
in a time of trouble. I said, my sister's in trouble, and the doctors have done what they can do. Now, I need your help, and we need it now. And I said that four or five times. I said, we need it now. Let me tell you, this normally don't happen. So he said, we're going to send her home. I get another text back. They're about to do surgery. They're what? Glory to God. Captain had his hand on the helm. Little ship going through a storm. Needed some help. Listen, in Matthew 8, when Jesus steps out and the storm was raging, here's what he said. Peace be still. And there was a great calm.
I'm glad for the ship on the sea and the captain's aboard. Lastly, the way of a man with a maid. The way of a man with a maid. You want some wild theology, read you about five or six different commentaries on that verse and that particular passage. And there's all kinds of ideas on it. I don't understand the high place. How he can come where I am when I'm so low, Paul, and lift me up. But he does. And I don't understand how you can be hurting so bad. Say, God, give me grace that's sufficient to take away the pain, and he helps the hurt. And I'm telling you, I don't understand how he keeps his hand on my wheel and on Randy's wheel and on Danny's wheel and on everyone's wheel that belongs to him. I don't understand that, but he does. Here's what I don't understand. Michael sang the song when he was on the cross, eyes on his mind. Here's why. I don't understand the heart of God. That word man there is a little different than man throughout the rest of the Bible. There's about four or five, there's more than that. There's some places in the Old Testament where this same Hebrew word for man is used. Here's what it means, the mighty man. It means a mighty soldier. The man of men. And with a maid, that word means virgin. And he don't understand all of this. Here's what it is. It's the heart that is involved. When the man sees the maid. My sister asked me. Grover had introduced me. Branch has never forgiven him for this. But Grover introduced me to Pat. He took me over to their house. We had to wait for them to get out of church. My sister asked me the next day, said, you going to call that girl anymore? I said, nope. He said, why not? I said, because that's the kind of girl you get serious with, and I'm too young to get married. 8 months later, Delmer's got us down here in the basement. July 13th. This coming July 13th, going to be 40 years. Me and that girl's been together. And I wish I had been the husband like she's been the wife. But you know what that is? That's a heart thing. You know what that is? That's when the Holy Ghost is there. Here's the fact of this. Stay with me. I'm winding down. There had to be the meeting. First, we had to meet. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. That'd be us before we were saved. Now, He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. But He had to come, Brother Johnny, or I'd have never met Him. There had to be a meeting before there can be a marriage. In the Hebrew wedding ceremony, I've preached this. It's been a long time since I've used it. And I don't know that I ever used it here, but in the Hebrew wedding ceremony, they've done this. First, the arrangement was made. There's a meeting. There has to be an arrangement. There has to be an agreement. There's a contract made. And then when the contract's made, then the groom goes away and he has to prepare a place to bring the bride to. And the father has to approve of what he's made before he can get the bride. And then he comes back for the bride, and there's someone that goes before him, before the groomsman comes, there's someone that goes before him and says, "The wedding's about to take place, you better get ready." And then one day, the bridegroom shows up. And he doesn't ask anyone's permission. Why? Because he's already paid for her.
He's already paid for her. This is over my understanding. And he comes and he takes that bride with him. And here's what the Bible said, that he might wash it with the water of the word. He might present it to himself, a church without spot or wrinkle. That's what he's going to do. Paul said, "I presented you unto the Lord as a chaste virgin." That's what he's going to do. He's talking about us that are rotten to the core, Brother Johnny. But when the Spirit of God moves within us, everything changes. Hey, God's perspective, God's vision of us, the view that He has of us, the picture of us, everything's different. Praise God when the Spirit of God moves into you, Joe. And there it is. So what is it? What is this? The man with the maid? What's this? There's going to be a marriage one of these days. I got this. Early this morning, come to the piano. You can get us a song, Randall. You've never gotten married until you've accepted the proposal. Listen, you can sit in a church house until time passes away or God calls you out of this world and never accept the proposal and never be part of the bride. Churches are full today of lost people. That's why there's so much fighting and fussing going on. And not everyone that fights and fusses is lost. They're just immature. But here's the proposal today from the Word of God. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." Do you know these things today? Do you know what it is to be lifted above the place where you are? Do you know what it is when you're hurt and He relieves the pain? Do you know what it is when you're in a storm and somehow there's a hand that comes by and says it's going to be okay? Do you know what it is to be espoused to the Lord and just waiting on the wedding day? I hope you know. If you don't, you can come today and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you're the Savior. Have mercy on me." You won't do that unless you believe it. And that's the believing, Paul said. When the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Let's stand to our feet and sing. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come. Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.